This is the Pete Bradley Show podcast, episode 23, news and comment for the middle of March. Well, look at some of the stories we've covered on the daily blog at PeteBradley.com. First of all, I want to say hello, and I want to say that I saw Dell today at the grocery store. And she was nice enough. She was passing me in the dairy aisle. And she said, "Are you Pete Bradley?" And I said, "Yes. Hi, how are you?" Because I recognized her. She used to come out to some of the breakfast shows that we used to do. And Dell pointed out that she missed the morning show. She missed hearing me in the morning. And I was quick to point out how I miss being there. I really do. So if we ever cross paths or you see me walking with my baseball bat cane, make sure you say hi. Because there was something special about this show. I mean, we had sort of a bonding. I'm meeting all kinds of people, and we talk about the show and how they used to listen and their daily routines, and it's really fun to meet you and get to know you. Well, looking back, we had the blizzard has come and gone. We have had three nor'easters here in New England with one after the other, and in fact, there's another on the way. Trees down, power lines down, thousands without power. Knock on wood, we have had no power outages here at Bradley Manor. A few flickers of lights, but no power out. The Reverend Bernard Healy says he celebrated Mass in that Tuesday blizzard with two hearty souls. One regular parishioner walked to the Our Lady of Mercy Parish in East Greenwich, Rhode Island for a noon Mass, while another drove across town to get there. Healy says they prayed for those suffering during the storm. He says he has held Mass during hurricanes and blizzards before. Healy lives right next to the church, and he says at least one parishioner always attends. The only thing that would cancel Mass, he says, is a caved-in roof, a fire, or another serious disaster. I still can't get over that story about the dog that was put in an overhead compartment on a United Airlines flight and then later died. 11-year-old Sophia Ceballos says she told the United flight attendant that it was a dog in her bag, but she was still forced to put it in the overhead compartment. She says, "We kept saying it's a dog, it's a dog." And she said, "It doesn't matter, you still have to put it up there." The dog, which was a Frenchie named Coquito, clearly didn't like it. Sophia says while they were flying, the dog was barking and there were no flight attendants coming. She said there was turbulence, so we couldn't get up to take care of the dog. We weren't allowed to get up. When they landed in New York from Houston, Sophia's mother looked in the bag and the dog was dead. Now, I've heard the flight attendant says she's devastated by this and did not understand that it was a dog. She says she didn't understand them, that it was a dog. Of course, passengers nearby said that they understood the family. United says it is looking into what happened, and I guess they're going to issue a colored tag now on all packages with dogs so that they know that there's a live animal inside. But come on. United, also there was a story this week that a Kansas family was reunited with their dog after he was mistakenly flown to Japan. Yes, on a United Airlines flight. Kara Swindle picked up Ergo, her 10-year-old German Shepherd, in Wichita, Kansas, after he was flown back from Japan. Apparently, he was put on a wrong connecting flight in Denver. Yeah, instead of going to Kansas, he went to Japan. Once United realized their mistake, they said Ergo would be flown back first class with an attendant, but they then decided to use their corporate jet, and he flew corporate. Nickelodeon has announced the return of Blue's Clues. The press release said the new Blue's Clues will have a refreshed signature look, and casting for the new host will begin next month. Those who want to be the next Steve need to get to Burbank, California for Saturday, April 14th. Nickelodeon is encouraging women and men of all backgrounds to try out, noting our host will have a comedy background, a natural connection with the camera, and will empower the home viewer to feel important, respected, and smart. Playing the guitar, singing, and juggling would be a plus. Filming is set to begin this summer. We used to watch that show all the time. My son Doug had the same outfit as Steve, you know, the orange, rather the green polo, the rugby shirt there, and the tan pants. I knew all the songs, too. I'm glad to see it coming back. A letter from Jesus Christ might be the affirmation that Oprah Winfrey needs to run for president. A TV station up in Maine, WGME, reports that an 83-year-old Maine woman who changed her name to Jesus Christ says she began a letter-writing campaign 50 years ago to spread a message of faith and peace. She says she sent the letter to Oprah Winfrey because she likes her, but had no idea it would get so much attention. We heard about it when Gayle King, one of Oprah's friends and one of the hosts of CBS This Morning, posted about the letter to Winfrey on Instagram, asking if this was the sign that her best friend was looking for. Oprah Winfrey did say on 60 Minutes that if God wanted her to run for president, wouldn't God kind of tell me? Well, now Jesus Christ has sent a letter. The woman in Maine says she didn't know that there was speculation about Winfrey running for president, but she said she would vote for her if she does. Of course, I have just a couple of questions. Why would you change your name to Jesus Christ, and what judge would approve this? Have you recovered yet from the switch to daylight savings time? It's tough. If you have young children, especially, and our pets are still confused. They don't know when dinner should be, but it all started back in March of 1918, daylight saving time. The initial justification was that it would save energy that could go towards helping fight World War I. Well, when the war ended, they came up with another idea to justify things. According to Smithsonian Magazine, department store owners pushed for the policy to continue. They said more people went shopping after work when it was lighter later. Since then, one study has found that daylight savings time actually increased home energy consumption, though a conflicting Department of Energy study found a small but significant decline. Then in 2016, a J.P. Morgan study found that while there's some boost to spending when daylight savings time goes into effect, it's offset by a substantial drop when we switch the clocks back. And contrary to myth, daylight saving does not particularly benefit the farmers. In fact, farmers have been lobbying against it for decades. Some other positive effects have been measured, including a decline in robberies, but so have increases in heart attacks and workplace accidents and car accidents, not to mention on the roads the Monday after the time change. So debate continues, but we are starting to see some states actually take it up in their state houses. We had a story this week about a coffee shop in Oakland. It's called Hasta Muerte. It wants all uniformed police officers to stay out and refuses to serve them. The company says, we have a policy of asking police to leave for the physical and emotional safety of our customers and ourselves. Some have supported the decision while others have not. One Oakland resident says she feels the coffee shop is trying to protect some customers who may have had negative interactions with Oakland police. Right or wrong, the Oakland City Council says what they're doing is legal. Now, personally, I don't agree with this. I will point out that I've never had a negative experience with the police, and I don't know if my opinion would change if I had. I just have to wonder if a coffee shop said they wouldn't serve someone else. Like, I'm not serving construction workers because I don't like new things being put up on in my neighborhood. Or if they said that they wouldn't serve anyone who's black. Or if they wouldn't serve anybody who's Hispanic. How would that go over? Young people across the country walked out of school to demand action on gun violence recently in the biggest demonstration yet of the student activism that has emerged since the massacre in Parkland, Florida. Many local schools around here had a snow day because of the blizzard, but said they will reschedule some activities. In Boston, they had no school, but they still had a demonstration and a march from the Common to the Statehouse. More than 3,000 walkouts were planned across the country and around the world. Some students were urged to leave class at 10 a.m. local time for 17 minutes, 1 minute for each of the dead in the February 14th shooting in Parkland, Florida. Some schools applauded students for taking a stand or at least tolerated the walkouts, but others threatened discipline if the kids did go. Now, some fun this week. We had Potato Chip Day recently, America's number one snack food. If you've ever wondered how the potato chip came to be, we found out that on August 24th, 1853, an unhappy restaurant customer was complaining that his potatoes were too thick and they were soggy. He kept sending them back. So the chef, George Crumb, decided to slice the potatoes as thin as possible, and he decided to fry them until they were crisp. He did add some salt. Now, he did this to get back at the guy. It was out of spite. Well, to the chef's surprise, the customer loved them, and they soon became a regular item on the restaurant's menu under the name of Saratoga Chip. So what's your favorite? Is it Lay's potato chips? Do you like the wavy kind? Are you a Pringles man? How about Doritos, Fritos, Tostitos? There are so many more nowadays, aren't there? It's like going down the cold and flu aisle, trying to find, you know, just whatever kind of potato chip you would like. Also this week, we did Flashback Friday, which is what you do when you're too late for Throwback Thursday. But Flashback Friday looked at music, and the number one song 10 years ago today, I wanna make love in this club. Usher featuring Young Jeezy with Love in This Club. 20 years ago today, Will Smith getting jiggy with it. 30 years ago today, Rick Astley was at number one. And 40 years ago today, 1978, the Saturday Night Fever mania, the Bee Gees with Night Fever. That's it for today, the middle of March. Hope life is going well for you, and I hope there's not much more snow to go. Talk to you soon. I'm Pete Bradley.